Welcome to the canteen.
Find us on social media at Dash with Flash and at your podcast catcher of choice with your host, Phil Masons and Scott Fiedler. Welcome to the canteen.
Hey, Feeds, let's head on over to the canteen.
Let's do it, Philip.
Let's do it. Welcome to the canteen, hosted by Scott Fiedler, who's on the line, and me. My name is Phil Masons. I'm the tennis director at Brookwood Camps, and he is one of the directors at Brookwood Camps. And we want to welcome you to the canteen. We want to thank CSN Sports Radio for airing this show daily. We love being there, and they seem to like having us there, too. And that's fantastic. We are presented by Brookwood Camps. Send us your precious gift, and we'll send them back better humans. I kind of made that one up, Scott. I kind of ad-libbed to that one.
You definitely did. You definitely ad-libbed it. And as always, you're too modest, man. You're too modest. You're not the tennis director. You are the tennis director, but you are more than that in my world. So,
well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
People that don't know it, I call him in his other profession, the great Phil Masons. He's a tremendous sports handicapper. And if you love fantasy stuff, he does a hell of a job with that as well.
Well, wow, that's very nice of you. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. I don't get very many compliments. I went 0.
Well, you must have went 0 for something this week, then.
Well, I did. You know what? It's really funny that you bring that up. I'm a superstitious guy. You know this. Mm-hmm. You know, I used to wear my shoes the same way or tie them the same way as long as I was winning or whatever. You know what I mean? And I was offered a thing. I can't talk about it on air, but I was offered something very lucrative for sports handicappers. It's like a dream come true. And he's the owner of a sports book who'd been tailing my picks and making money off the NBA. And he called me last Tuesday and talked to me about some things. And from that day on, I couldn't win an NBA game until yesterday when the Suns came through. Wow.
But you know what? If you're a real handicapper, you get that. There are highs and lows to handicapping.
Oh.
And it's the consistency over the long haul. I mean, you can't lose your mind when you go on that little cold streak and really screw it up.
You can't worry about that. You know, I have a track record. I have a 57.4% success rate over now 3,000 picks.
Right.
That's pretty good.
And that's what you're looking for.
Yeah.
You know, my second profession is the horse handicap.
Absolutely. We're going to talk about that in a little bit too.
Got a big tournament this weekend. I'm hoping I could get hot like I did in the last big one. So
now I know where to come for a loan.
Yeah, sure. But it's, you know, it's the same idea. You know, you get hot in that for a little while and you know, you're seeing things clearly and, excuse me, you can't lose it, you know, when you lose a few races, you know, and lose your mind. And that's why these big money handicapping tournaments are not only a test of your handicapping, it's a test of your cool head, because there's going to be ups and downs throughout the 2 days of races. You know, you have to pick 40 different races.
That's why I think that ex-athletes are the best handicappers. And that's why I try to keep these guys and train them to do this, because it's a great second profession. And it's getting legal more and more states every day.
That's scary, isn't it?
Yeah,
actually, it's a little scary to me that it's getting that easy to do it.
Yeah, you know what? I don't feel like it is, and I'll tell you why. Because I lived in Greece for, almost two decades, and they have kiosks there for betting. They can bet on anything there. But young people don't have these problems. You know, it's just like alcohol.
But could they bet on a phone? Could they bet on a phone?
They can, but you know what the problem is a lot of the young people don't have any money. But
right,
they
can thank God.
Right. But this was different. You know, I was involved in a thing called Draft Dragons. A gentleman from the Hamptons was tailing me for years, and I was rolling, man, in fantasy basketball and fantasy football, rolling, like second in the millie, you know, big rolling. And I can tell you, and he wanted to build his own site and have me as the face of the franchise. And one of the things that I wanted to make sure of is that 18-year-olds and older could only play, meaning you had to prove who you were before you ever signed up.
Walked into that, right.
That's a horrible thing. But you know what? Speaking of horrible things, we'll get into all that in a minute.
Absolutely.
What I saw on TV yesterday was disgraceful.
I don't even know if disgraceful is a harsh enough word for what went on. You know, I mean, I'm watching this going, do we live in a third world, you know, fledgling democracy? As these idiots, for lack of a better word, are storming the Capitol building by being egged on by the idiot in charge.
Right. And the media helped too, by the way. I think.
Listen, it's been a whole. Everyone has stoked the fire. So, and I think yes, the media is hugely to blame for what's gone on. But you know, there's a lack of leadership in the old days. You know, you and I are old school guys. You know, I grew up with a tough father. You knew my father very well. He was as old school as it got. You know,
old school.
You gave a handshake. You looked the guy in the eye. You know, you told him something. You followed through with it. If you couldn't follow through with something, you'd call him up and make sure they understood right away, and you'd give him an alternative thing. You know, these guys in the Senate, particularly too. Forget, you know, just Trump for a minute, and these guys that have enabled him, you know, from the start, you know, and I know we were talking before the show, and I told you this Lindsey Graham, who, you know, flip-flops to whatever is going to help him get elected again, you know, just flip-flopped away from Trump, you know, from he was away from him and before he got elected, then he was his best friend and the greatest thing since sliced bread. And then, you know, and the only thing I do like about Twitter, Phil,
what's that?
Is you could go back and see what these morons put in writing.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I mean, they, you know, and it's the same thing with, I guess, with camera, you know, people being on camera and what they say. You know, it's you can't hide from the past.
Well, you shouldn't either. You know, I think that one of the biggest problems is we lack accountability. I mean, actions have consequences, and Donald Trump has never faced any consequences in his life.
I think he may be in for a rude awakening.
Well, I think he's going to have a lot of issues, but irregardless of that fact, yeah, I had a lot of people from Greece tell me it's time to go home.
Because let me tell you something. I'm riding your coattails.
You know, this is rough, and I told you this before. I've told you this several times. You know, you can say what you want about Greece, but and maybe a lot of it's true, but 99% of the things I see here, I never saw there during the worst part of the austerity. Food lines and all these things, and the violence in the streets, Scotty. And now you've got these people crazy who say they're pointing fingers. Well, why didn't you shoot more of those people like you did over there? You know, every circumstance is different and whatever. And I get why you're angry, but that's part of the problem in America is people busy, hey, watching what he did. Look what he did. Look what he did. Instead of looking in the mirror and taking accountability for yourself.
Well, that's society in America today. You know, what could I do for me? You know, how am I going to improve myself?
Right.
You know, and if I do something wrong, well, screw it. I'm just going to sweep it under the rug and move, you know, and just go from there. And, you know, the people that, you know, I've been saying it for years. I hope the world turns around again, you know, and goes back to the as they called it, the great generation, you know, the World War II guys. And,
right.
And the people that were accountable for their actions and things like that. And listen, don't get me wrong. It's not a perfect place. You know, you and I don't know. Listen, if you're a young black man, it's very different.
It is.
You know,
absolutely.
Growing up, I don't agree with them, you know, saying, oh, it's, you know, they would have shot people if they were black or brown yesterday. I don't buy that. You know, I think you react to what's going on out there and to the threat is, so to speak, is sort of how, you know, these police officers and law enforcement operate. But it's, you know, it's just scary, you know, that it's always, you know, they want to blame someone for why their lot in life, you know. Listen, Phil, you had a tough lot in life at one point as well.
Oh, yeah.
And you overcame it. You know, I mean, listen.
I had to go to a third world country to do that.
Well, and for some of you that don't know, you know, we didn't think Phil was going to be here. It was about, what, 18 years ago now?
Pretty much. Oh no, it's let me see. On the 25th, it'll be 13 years of being clean.
Okay.
Remission.
Correct.
And I'm not going to get into any more of that. So it was 2000. I was diagnosed in February of 2002.
Okay, there you go. So it was about 18 years ago,
yep.
Like I said. And, you know, you could have went into a shell, said, forget this, gave up, and, you know, that would be walked into the sunset, I guess, so to speak, you know, and you didn't. And,
nope.
You know, I always talk about a kid that we had when I was at a junior college, SUNY Farmingdale. This is in 1992. We had a kid by the name of Arthur Anderson, who, black kid, you know, big kid, good kid. Lost both his parents at a young age. Sister sort of raised him until he was a teenager. And then he lived on top of a men's shelter in a room that, you know, my desk was bigger than his room, you know, so to speak. And he became a successful human being. He, you know, played ball for us. He went to a four-year school, got a degree in education, and he's a teacher now. You know, and a successful one. So, you know, your lot in life doesn't decide what's going to happen. Yes, it may make it a little more difficult. You know, that people definitely have it more difficult than others. But I think there's always a way out of it. And, you know, blaming people and violence and all of this is not doesn't solve it.
Well, it doesn't solve it at all. In fact, it exacerbates it.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's been put on steroids to the point where who knows what's going to happen next. At least it got COVID-19 off the TV for a couple days.
Yeah, but the same thing, you know, with that. I mean, you go from, you're in a pandemic, you can't go to a restaurant, you can't go out past 10 o'clock, you can't, you know, last summer you couldn't go to a summer camp, but, you know, it's okay to go out in the streets and protest and run around and do that, and it's, you know.
And commit crimes.
Right. It's going to be okay. You know, I mean, I thought it was ridiculous during the summer that was going on, you know, that oh, we're in the middle of a pandemic, but we could go out in the streets and protest.
Right. I know. You know,
but you can't. But businessmen are losing their businesses because of these other rules. But yet, listen, I mean, I was saying some of these guys, they should have went out to the protest and sold food in the middle of the street.
Right. 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 I bet you some people actually did that, you know.
I hope so, for their sake.
You know, all I know is this. I met so many Greeks who lived in America, and they never said a bad word about America because they came over with nothing in their pockets. Most of them were illegal and came back with small fortunes. And they always wonder why more Americans couldn't do that.
Exactly. I mean, because it's the excuse generation.
Well, of course it is. Let's blame it on this or that.
Yeah, I got fired because of, you know, this guy. My boss was a jerk. This, you know, this happened. Now, listen, COVID's been a totally different thing. But, you know, there were people that think you got fired because of what you did on the job.
Right.
It had nothing to do with anybody. But, you, but the, you know, like you at the beginning of this segment, look in the mirror.
Look in the mirror. Well, that's just it. You know, that's one of the things about the coaching player relationship is that we try to get them to do that. The successful tennis players that I know how to self-introspect. They're very introspective people. You know, they have very rigid routines every day.
Sure.
And they don't get distracted by anything other than their next opponent. That's all they're thinking about. Go ahead.
And like we said with handicapping, you know, it's the same type of deal with athletes. You know, it's can you keep your head when things get tough?
Well, that's just it. You know? And a lot of people can't.
Right. And are you going to work hard? You know, listen, you lose that big match. Are you going to work harder next time that you don't lose the big match?
Or
are you going to be upset that you lost it, you know?
Well, see, that's one of the biggest problems in youth sports today is they place too much emphasis on winning and building these super teams already. I see it. Than they do on development, you know.
And it's all about money now, youth sports.
All about money, and that's a terrible thing.
I wanted to tell you a story, and I was talking about it with, you know, as you know, my son plays on a travel lacrosse team, which I don't know how thrilled I am other than that I like his coaches, and he likes playing with the guys, you know, and he's definitely gotten better. So there's been a lot of positives.
Right.
However, to me, half of this stuff is just a money grab from these guys. And you know, I'll give you two examples with my son and my daughter. My daughter just started playing this year. So I'll go my daughter first because we negated it right away, me and my wife. And then I'll give you my son's, which really pissed me off a little bit. So okay. My daughter's was, you know, she signed up for an instructional clinic on Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. Okay, through the team, so it was extra money. And then we get a second email literally like 3 or 4 days later about them playing games on Saturday night from 8 to 9. And then they're going to go Sunday at 8 in the morning. My daughter's 9 years old, Phil.
Wow. Wow.
I told my wife right away, I said, she's not playing Saturday nights. I have zero issue with her going to the clinics or whatever, but she's 9 years old. I'm not putting her through that. It's ridiculous. And to me, it was a money grab. You know, here it was. They charged you for the clinics, and now they were charging you for these Saturday night so-called quote-unquote games. So we squashed that one. Now I move on to my son. And I'm trying to think the word for these guys. The guys that run the club, okay, who are not the coaches. Coaches don't run a club. There's people above him. Sort of leave these guys out to dry some days. And this was an example. So the guy sends a thing about a lacrosse tournament that the kids could play in. Would you be interested? You know, who wants to play? Let's do this. So, you know, most people write back, yes, 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 yes. Well, 2 days later, we get an email from the club that it's an additional $85 fee to play in a tournament. Now, $85 is, you know, it's not, oh my God, it's going to make or break me. But the principle of it, that you don't upfront tell people that you're charging for this tournament after we're already paying a significant amount of money to this club just to play is disgraceful. And the problem you have with it is you don't want your son or daughter to be the one that's not playing now. And they know that. So it's all a cash grab. And when I looked at it, I go, this tournament's a joke. They're not going to learn anything. They're actually taking a training session away from them to play in this tournament, which is a box indoor thing, which isn't even the same as lacrosse. And now I gotta watch this. I gotta put my son in because basically the rest of his team's playing and he wants to be with his team.
Yep, that's youth sports for you. That's the wrong side of it. It is what it is, though. I guess you just have to.
And they're all the same. I mean, they're all the same, but it's, you know, like I said, listen, I asked my son, I felt bad because I was going to say no. And I said, listen, your team's playing. Do you want to play? He's, you know, Tyler, of course he did.
You know, right, of course he did.
Going to be a no, you know, that was a no brainer for him. You know, oh, my boys are playing. Of course I want to play. But, you know, the way they go about it is just, it's infuriating. And I mean, I said to someone, I said, mark my words, and I'll let you know on the next show if it's true. I said, they're going to send an email out on Friday night saying parents can't stay.
Oh, wow.
And watch.
Oh, wow.
They haven't said anything. They haven't said it yet. So I'm sure most people think they could stay and watch the kid. I'm going to tell you now, I'm waiting for that one. That's going to be the next thing. Yeah. And they'll send it out Friday night so no one could cancel and be pissed about it.
So that's not a game anymore. That's a practice, a close practice.
Whatever. I mean, listen, and I don't mind. Listen, if you tell me on Monday that parents can't be at the facility, then so be it. You know, that you're up front. You did it. You know, it's the same thing we were just talking about before. You know, where's the accountability?
There is none. That's the problem. That is a big problem. You know, youth sports
huge
is
problem in youth sports. Huge, huge problem.
It's a huge problem. And it's not only in America, it's worldwide. I've coached in 84 countries or step four.
Yes, no, that's a worldwide, you know, they people see the green and, you know, it's And they know you're not going to, you know, it was like I used to get pissed off at summer camps. You know, they would tell you, oh, it's an optional trip. You know, you have to pay extra for it.
Right.
Well, you know, you're not going to have your kid be the only kid that doesn't go on a trip.
So it's not optional.
So it's not optional. Exactly. You know, and we've never done that at Brooklyn. I've never done an optional trip.
Well, why would you? I mean, because it leaves kids out. What if the kid can't afford it? You know, what is he going to do? All 10 of his bunk mates are gone, and he's got to stay here with us.
Exactly.
That's terrible. You know what? That's worse than all the stuff people are complaining about, because that puts a kid at a horrible disadvantage in life, too, because now he's labeled the poor kid. And then we got a bullying going on and all those other things. There's so many things that we could point out, right, wrong, or indifferent. But at the end of the day, the canteen. Mm-hmm. Phil Nasons and Scott Fiedler decry what we saw yesterday in Washington, D.C., and we hope that you all out there are safe and paying attention and just staying out of the fray.
Yep.
That's what I think. Speaking of staying out of the
fray,
Ohio State Buckeyes, that was the best call I made all year.
Oh, you nailed it.
But I couldn't get any action down.
Why not?
I can't. That's the problem. Pretty much. Outside of, well, I'm banned in most sports books now. And have been for about 5 years.
Jesus.
That means I cleaned them out an occasion or two. But I got lucky, you know, whatever. It's all part of it. It is what it is. Let's move on to this. This is something that has been creeping into sports, college sports, maybe even high school sports played on neutral courts, pro sports. Why home court really doesn't matter much during this pandemic? Why do you think that is? Let's tell the people why this is. We can have some fun with this, too. Go ahead, Feeds.
The first and easiest one is there's no momentum in a game anymore.
That's right.
And, you know, the crowd really, it doesn't make you play any better, you know, but it does, it changes the momentum of games.
Sure does. It's
crazy how it works, you know, and now you don't, you know, you don't have that. There's no, you know, I mean, colleges, you know, you used to have the student section, you know.
Right.
The disadvantage was, you know, if you were on offense and football, you couldn't hear down there.
That's right.
You know, you had to go to a silent count, or you couldn't adjust your play. You know, same thing in the pros in certain stadiums. And then, you know. Listen, you know, you don't see it on TV because they've been pumping crowd noise into these games. But, you know, you recover a fumble in the NFL now, no one's going crazy in the home field, you know.
Right.
And, you know, same idea with basketball and whatnot. And then, you know, in football, I think the second part of it is and I think it's been a pretty cool thing a little bit. To really hear these quarterbacks and linebackers talk before the plays,
right,
and changing play, you know, things you would never have heard, you know, to me as a sports fan, I think it's incredible, because you're actually seeing the game being played, you know, and you see them, you know, you see Aaron Rodgers, you know, kill, let's change Omaha, literally changing the play that he wouldn't be able to do with a crowd.
That's right. That's exactly right. You know what? One of the things that I noticed in basketball, this happens more than any other sport too, is fans can sometimes influence the referees into making a call.
Absolutely.
You get these guys, especially in the NBA, where they're so close to the court and they have those court level seats, mm-hmm. and they're all jumping up and pointing, and all of a sudden the referee blows a whistle. Well, those people aren't there now, and those cutouts aren't saying anything. The other thing...
They're not?
No, they're not. I remember, and the other thing, too, is shooting free throws, especially mm-hmm. To the student section end of your opposing team.
You want to know something? I don't think that's as big a deal as you think.
You know what?
I used to tell people, I used to say, I think the greatest thing you could do to a free throw shooter is just be quiet.
Well, that could be. You know, we used to shoot our free throws in quiet. We weren't allowed to talk during them for Charlie, but go ahead.
But you follow what I'm saying.
Well, of course I do. Yeah, yeah, sure.
That, you know, to me, when I played and you're on the road, I expected the crowd to be yelling at me.
Well, so right,
So I was prepared for that.
Well, our coaches also prepared us too. I mean, they let us
correct.
Know.
But you know, could you imagine now this was going to happen, and then you, get there and everyone in the crowd doesn't say a word.
Yeah, that would be weird, huh?
But wouldn't that freak you out a little bit more than them going crazy?
Well, I think it would, yeah, for sure. I think that would be a big, it'd definitely be a different atmosphere, that's for sure. But one of the things, too, that I've noticed from handicapping for as long as I have now is that marginal players seem to play, and I'm talking, when I say marginal, I mean average guys. Not your LeBron James, not your superstars, but your average guys usually play better at home for two reasons. One, the crowd's on their side, and that makes them feel good. Two, they're at home. They sleep in their own beds. You know, they don't have to worry about a lot of things, and they get their own food, and everything is good. But the crowd isn't on their side now because the cutouts aren't saying anything. And that's a tough one. You know, the crowd can fire you up, get you going. Those pep bands were great in high school. They get you fired up. But the most important reason is not everyone can bring their own juice to the game. Not everyone has that ability to create their own momentum, if you will, create their own energy and bring it to the game.
We talked about the NCAA tournament, you know, that part of it, you know, where you would go on the road, you know, after playing at home and let's say the ACC tournament, and it was crazy and everybody was going nuts. And then you would go to a place where there was nothing going on.
Nothing going on.
You know what I mean?
Oh, I do. I know exactly. That's crazy. But that's why, folks, if you're asking that question, you know, it is what it is. It's part of the sport. When the fans come back, maybe Kyle Korver will score more points, or maybe he won't, or maybe he'll be a broadcaster by then. But but you know what I mean? And because it is what it is. You know, it really is. You know, even some players like, I don't know, who was the one the other night that, DeMar DeRozan was playing the Clippers and only scored 6 points the other night.
Jesus.
That's what I said, too.
And I don't have him on my fantasy team.
Well, no, you wouldn't either. You don't ever want to have any San Antonio Spurs players because, you know, they move players around so much.
Man, we got LaMarcus Aldridge on one of my kids.
Oh, that's
in long teams, and it's been brutal.
Oh, trade him. You know what? Let him have somebody.
Should we just drop him?
No, don't drop him. Trade him for somebody.
Although Boogie Cousins came through.
Yeah, he did. But how long will he come through for? Look at Kevin Durant. Somebody picked him one or two probably in any league.
Yes.
Now he's missed 5 games. And he'll be rested, too, on back-to-backs because they're playing so many. And in a shorter season, you're going to miss him half the time.
Well, that's, I think, you know, moving on, I guess, to the fantasy, you know, that we were talking about.
Okay.
It sounds like, you know, that injuries are becoming a bigger part of season-long basketball than in a normal year. Am I right or wrong about that?
No, I think you're right. I think it's a lot of things. It's the lack of conditioning. It was, you know, you still had 22 teams that played all the way up until September. They're used to having a little bit better of a break. You know, their seasons have been upended too. Their body clocks are off.
Way off.
And they're trying to get them straightened out if they can, but I don't think they ever will now. Because, again, money matters in sports. But,
oh, yeah, they don't care about, you know, it's all about money.
Well, of course it is.
But listen, pro sports, different world. It should be all about money.
It should be, yeah. Because that's why they're paying these guys a heaping amount of money.
Exactly. It should be about money. But, you know, let me ask you this. Any new advice on season long? You know, people that are available.
Oh, I have,
you know,
some.
I mean, we picked up Tyler, my son picked up Darius Garland. Of course, now he's injured.
Yeah, well, he got hurt. That was a freak thing, though. I don't think that had anything to do with lack of conditioning, because I watch all the Cavs games, and I also go to the home games, because I used to be a part of that media team for a couple months, and I see the guys, and I get to hang out. Nobody bothers me, because I don't cause any trouble either. And if somebody gets laryngitis, I could pop in and, you know, and make sure
speak
he can
for
make,
him.
I'll be like the substitute. Tap me in. Anyway,
there you go.
Here's the guy you want to pick up, Nicholas Batum from the Los Angeles Clippers. Now, he's had an injury history the last couple of years, too, but he seems to be healthy.
He had a hell of a night last night.
He's going to have a hell of a night every night in L.A. because someone is always going to miss there, whether it's Kawhi Leonard on back-to-backs or Paul George.
Paul George, yeah.
Or whoever. And Nicholas Batum is a five-category guy. He's going to get you points everywhere.
Let me stick with that team. How come a guy like Lou Williams is not playing better this year?
Well, maybe because, you know, this has also interrupted their social lives a lot. And, you know, they whatever. You know, I think the reason being is, that, you know what, I was going to go somewhere with that, but I'll leave it be. But suffice to say, I think one of the biggest problems with Lou Williams is that he doesn't have the same coach who used him in the same way. You know, he also is a guy who starts off slowly usually. Mm-hmm. And if in an 82-game season, he would be just starting to catch fire now if it started at the regular time in January. Mm-hmm. But he's not that guy now, and he's older too. He still gets his minutes. He still gets some opportunities, but it's not the same. You know, he had Montrezl Harrell doing his thing for him, setting picks and that, and he's gone. So he's learning new schemes. He's got a new head coach. Tyronn Lue's probably not a fan of him because, you know, in Lou Williams' day, he would have broke his ankles too. And it is what it is. But that's why I think he's a tough one to pick up. In daily fantasy, you probably can, depending on the matchup.
Right.
But
A Nick Bantum or a Darius Garland, if I was looking.
Yeah, Nicholas Batum is your guy.
Nicholas Batum.
No, that's okay. Now, there's a couple more. I had them right. Okay, here we go. Right here. Jordan Clarkson is another player who's doing pretty well. And he's available in just over 60% of fantasy leagues worldwide. Mm-hmm. He's another one who comes off the bench. Utah is going to be struggling a little bit. You know, they have some older players. He's going to pop in. He'll be that sixth, seventh man. He's going to get his minutes. And he's going to go out there and produce. And that's a key thing right there. Another one that you could probably pick up is here. Again, Bobby Portis. Bobby Portis has his ups and downs, but Milwaukee's going to blow a lot of teams out. And he's going to get 30 minutes. And there are nights when he goes off and nights that he won't. But he's another one you can pick up. Miles Bridges from Charlotte is another one. He's available in about 35% of your leagues. Brooke Lopez. Don't give up on Brooke Lopez if you have him on your roster because he's a slow starter also. Mm-hmm. But he's going to catch fire hopefully towards when it matters most. Harrison Barnes, another guy almost a triple-double every night. He's still available.
Just missed him. Ugh, did I blow that one? I was going to pick him up, but I had something going on. I was going to pick him up for one of my kids at 10 o'clock, and what happens? Someone picks him up at 9:30.
Oh, yeah, that's the kiss of death for fantasy. Now, here's another one. Oklahoma City is going to have hard times this year. You know, and they've already got players injured, and they're moving around some pieces. But this kid, Bazley, is that his name? What is it? Oh, Darius Bazley. Bazley's available in about 65% of your leagues. He's going to get you points. He's going to get you some boards. He'll get you a couple steals, and he should be pretty good. One more I'll give you. Let me see which one I was going to do.
Let me ask you this before, as you're looking, and you're a Cleveland guy, a guy like Kevin Love right now, what's your take on that for the season?
Ooh, you know what? He's going to miss 3 to 5 weeks. The problem with this season in fantasy basketball is that we don't even have a second half schedule yet.
Right.
We have no idea if they're going to wind up making four bubbles or doing whatever it is they do. We're already seeing COVID-19 issues starting to creep up. The season's only 2 weeks old. Mm-hmm. That's a difficult thing. But I don't know. I would probably put Kevin Love on my injured reserve list if you have a spot.
Mm-hmm.
If you do not, I think I would probably just let him go. Try to trade him. I don't think anybody will bite. Right. But if you can, trade him. Otherwise, you're going to have to let him go because he's just a dead spot on a roster on a short season. And you can't afford to miss 30 games in a 54-game season.
I would hope not, right?
Right.
What about an Eric Gordon? Is he still a pickup?
He is and he isn't. He's not going to benefit as much as he did under Mike D'Antoni. So when D'Antoni does his thing, Eric Gordon's not doing his. And James Harden is causing all sorts of issues in the locker room. He's not liking some folks. It's a very difficult environment. I would let Eric Gordon pass. Mm-hmm. I would let him go. All right, so that's enough of that. Now, you mentioned the fact that you're going to do this horse racing tournament. And we had an email and somebody asked, what are the most important things that you can, most important advice you can give someone who has never handicapped a horse racing event or wants to do it or is going to the track or whatever with his family and he wants to, or his friends and doesn't want to look stupid?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I wish it was that simple, you know, on some of it. I think, you know, the first thing you really got to do is you got to learn how to read the daily racing form.
That's a very important thing, by the way.
It's the number one important thing. I mean, you know, it's like trying to play fantasy sports and just picking the guys every day by feel. You know,
I've been doing that on DraftKings with a dollar every day just because I'm exhausted.
Right, but you're not winning like you would have had you put the time into research.
Right. See, I don't have that time, but yes, of course.
Right. And it's, you know, it's the same idea. Listen, you could go to the track and you could see certain, you know, there's certain things you could look at on a horse. Are they on their toes? You know, the simplest ones and sort of why, you know, if you don't want to look stupid, learn about the trainers and the jockeys, you know, that's a big thing, the human connections. But, you know, for me, a lot of it's reading the form. I have about 700 different angles I look at in different races, you know, from horses dropping in class to trainer upgrades to, you know, one of the funniest ones that works a lot is you'll see a horse that loses by like 60 lengths and was eased at one point.
Right.
If they come back and they have a good workout after being eased, I usually play them the next time out because they're going to be 20-1 or better because people are going to see how bad they were in the last race. And now you're going to get the price you wouldn't have gotten had they not been eased.
Right.
So, you know, that's one of them. You know, I used to talk about another angle I've used, you know, and again, you got to learn how to read the form. It's a lot, I guess it's a lot of, mine is manual analytics, so to speak, you know, with it, Phil, you know, between reading the form, you know, looking at will pays, so to speak, is another thing. Now, I'm sure I'm over the head of most beginners when we're talking about this stuff, because they're going to say, well, what the heck is a will pay? Well, a will pay would be a multi-race thing, so a daily double. You look at what these horses will pay with the horse in the previous race that won. And sometimes it's very candidly shows you, you know, a horse will be 8-1, but it'll be one of the low prices in the will pays. Well, that a lot of times is a play for me.
Okay.
You know, of course, looking at the form as well. You know, another thing you want to look at, and I've always done is, you know, you want to sort of see how much speed is going to be in a race. Does a horse have an opportunity to take him from start to finish, you know, nice and easy? Or is there going to be about four or five horses going after the lead, and it's going to set up for someone coming out of the clouds? You know, and they call that pace handicapping.
Right.
Which is how I really started, was pace. I start my handicapping with pace handicapping, and then I'll move to all the different angles I have for, you know, with that. And for me, you know, I've been doing it for such a long time. I watch race replays a lot.
Right. I'm sure you do. Yeah.
Because they really you know, sometimes on the piece of paper, it really doesn't show what happened in that race. And you could really come up with some interesting horses if you just watch the right races.
I used to watch the jockeys more. I remember being in Vegas, and they had some kind of thing out there, and there were a bunch of jockeys at the DI, and they were talking about how they pull horses back and different things, and it was interesting to just listen to them, right? And you have to be careful, because not every jockey tries to win every race. Sometimes they're setting folks up so that they can get them later.
Yes, that you know, especially more in harness.
But, oh, the harness racing for sure. Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, I had an old buddy that was big in the harness racing, you know, and he said, listen, we never fixed races, so to speak, but you would let a guy get into a spot, you know, little things like that, that, you know, if you were really trying to win, you'd keep him out, you know, and same idea with the thoroughbreds. I think, yes, there are some. I mean, I'll tell you another angle that I've come up with recently is if you could find a hot apprentice at a certain track, and in horse racing, you know, you have the jockeys have to be apprentices first.
Right.
The benefit of being an apprentice is they get a weight break on the horse. Okay. So now some of these jockeys or apprentice jockeys are racing with 7 to 10 pounds less on the horse.
Right, that's a good call too. Yeah,
it may seem minuscule, but go run, you know, yourself with, all right, you know, run with 15 pounds on your back, and then run with 10 pounds on your back. You know, you'll go faster. It just is what it is. And if you could find that really good apprentice jockey, because they're not going to get the best horses, but they're going to bring in those 18-to-1 shots that are going to pay you money, and guess what? If you go to the track and you hit an 18-to-1 shot, if you're very smart, you're going to make money that day at the track.
That's right.
So, you know, if you're playing the 2-to-1 shots every race, no, your odds are you're going to lose money. So, you know, us quote unquote professional handicapping horse players are looking for price first. You know, can I beat the horse that's going to be the favorite? That's, you know, what you're looking at. Now, there are races where the favorite's just, you know, overwhelmingly shows up, and either do one of two things. You don't play the race. You try to hook them up with a horse on the back end of an exacta or a triple, you know, but to bet, you know, a horse that's even money, even though you know they're going to win, you're going to lose on the day 9 times out of 10.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point that you make, because a lot of times in my world of sports handicapping, guys say, oh, I got a 52% success rate. Well, that's nice, but 52% success rate at minus 110 is usually on the spread bets. You're losing money. You have to be 52.6%. So you have to be careful.
Right, and when you're playing horses, you know, the beauty of the long shots and playing against other people, so to speak, you know, because that's how they decide the odds. It's based on the amount of money that's bet on a horse. You know, you could pick 20% and make money.
Well, yeah, that's just it.
As crazy as it sounds.
Well, that's just true. You know, I know guys who have awful win-loss records, but they're in the black because they play a lot of underdogs. And that's kind of something
that
you
want to look for. I thought that was the greatest. You know, I used to think baseball was the best sport to play. Betting, because you got odds, and if you could play underdogs, you know, it's actually in your favor. If you're 52% playing underdogs in baseball, you're making a good bank.
You're making very good bank. See, when you're playing underdogs in baseball, you only need a 47% success rate, and that's the way it is. It's this funny thing, but that was great advice. That was fantastic. Now, we also had a question about the difference, Scott, between season-long leagues or seasonal leagues and what they see on the TV, DraftKings and FanDuel. I remember when I was trying to get – I was going to get Tyler to play with me in a fantasy football league.
Sure.
And Pam said to me, you're not going to teach my son how to gamble, are you? Because
my wife.
Well, that's fair.
For all the horse playing, either my wife, I don't think, has laid a bet on anything ever.
Well,
She's the only person to go to Atlantic City and go shopping.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that, but see, you know what the problem?
It's a great mix for us, trust me.
Well, of course, I'm sure, yeah. You can't have two degenerates in your family. But at the end of the day, because that would be rough, especially on a losing streak. Can you imagine having
You calling me a degenerate now?
Well, that's not what I meant that in. I meant that as a compliment, though.
Oh, I hope that was in a loving way.
No, it was, because I thought of myself that way too for a long time, but now I just handicap, but because I can't make a bet, it really sucks. That's why I have to come to New York City so I can go to DraftKings and FanDuel. But the end of the day, she's right though, because over the last 7 years, you're. Entire exposure for season-long or fantasy sports is DraftKings and FanDuel, because we were inundated with those ads in America for years and years. And that's what they think of, but there are...
Yeah, it was either DraftKings or FanDuel or Viagra. I mean, you couldn't watch a football game with your son or daughter for a while there.
Well, exactly. Now, the first thing that you have to remember is Pam was right. FanDuel and DraftKings, that's gambling.
That's gambling. Absolutely.
And I don't teach kids how to gamble. I'm against that. I have an Instagram account that I've kind of weeded out because I have my students follow me. But most of them I already tell straight up, if you're going to follow me, don't be gambling. You're going to lose. You're not smart enough. And that's just the way it is, you know, and they can't afford to pay me. So you need to, you know, whatever. But DraftKings and FanDuel really is like paramutual betting, like at the track.
Right.
Or trying to hit a nine-leg parlay, meaning you have to have nine winners. You know, they talk about these big jackpots, the Millie Maker, for example.
Yeah.
And I had some success in that.
The nine best players of the day. You're gonna
yeah, against 250,000 other lineups. So you got a lot of issues there. But that's gambling, because you're gambling. You're risking money that this said player, said player, said player, said player, said player all go off. I mean, that's not easy to do when they're big targets. But they tried to market it as it wasn't gambling. But I was brought in for that DraftKings, and I said up front, stop listening to these buffoons.
Right, until they started running their own casinos, now it's gambling.
Yeah, now it's okay. You know, oh, we were wrong. No, you were aggressive toward the people who were right.
Exactly.
And that was unfortunate. But DraftKings and FanDuel, you know, you have a better chance of hitting the lottery than you do hitting the Millie Maker. There's certain things that you need to learn how to do. And in the adult class, I'll show you what those are, without guarantees, of course. But season-long leagues are different. Like the league we're talking about that Scott's kids play in, that's season-long. And that was the original. Fantasy baseball first, and then the other football.
Rotisserie baseball.
Yeah, roto baseball. That's how you know.
Back when I was in college, we did that. And the funniest is before that, if you remember, Strat-O-Matic baseball.
Oh, yeah. I had a game like that, and I lost it. But I liked that game. I enjoyed Strat-O-Matic baseball, basketball, football.
And football. My brother and I used to play all the time. Every night we'd play a Strat-O-Matic game, you know, and it was a lot of fun, you know, and it was statistic based and all of that. And I think that's how roto baseball started. And, you know, listen, Phil, I play the horses and all, and you know, this is to your point. Both my kids are doing that season long basketball thing now. And it's fun, because all they're worried about is, did I beat my buddy this week?
There you go.
You know, they're not looking at, there's no money in this. There's nothing. It's more of, hey, I got the bragging rights in the schoolyard this week because I beat so-and-so, you know. And they still don't even know what they're doing. Like, they go, oh, thank Uncle Phil for me because James Wiseman scored 22 last night.
Right. You know, one of the things that fantasy sports was designed to do was – you think you're better than the general manager of your favorite team, and you're going to prove it by drafting your own team, managing it for the entire season, and coming out on top against your friends or whatever. And now they're like professional leagues that there's a lot of money involved. That's not the same thing as DraftKings and FanDuel, because on a seasonal league, you have to play with injuries, like we're talking about with Kevin Love.
Right.
In DraftKings and FanDuel, daily fantasy sports, you don't have to do that. You know, you can start fresh and new every day, but that's not really what fantasy sports is. Fantasy sports is, I'm smart enough to manage my own team, to draft my own players, to put them in the right positions on the daily and win. And beat all my friends or whoever. That's season long. And season long league, you get camaraderie, you'll develop deeper bonds. Daily fantasy, they all have freaking screen names. You don't know who's who.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. I mean, you know, it's funny when you bring that up season long, you know, and one of the guys that, you know, he does dabbles with horses with me a little bit, and I've mm-hmm. taught him a bunch. He's one of my kids, you know, a friend's father. And, you know, he's been playing season long since he's in college, and he and his buddies get together every year. The reason they still play is because they get together every year for the draft, and it's just, you know, otherwise they probably wouldn't see each other.
Well, that's just it. See, that bonds that you create, like high school, college, that's when guys really start. And that's why we're trying to teach it at Brookwood this summer, because it's a great thing. You know, where I was at previously, they had bunk leagues. Every one of those every one of them had every bunk had their own fantasy football league or fantasy baseball league. Well, not baseball because they were at camp, but mm-hmm. you get the point. And what we're trying to do at Brookwood is to build more camaraderie and deeper relationships, because those relationships at camp can sometimes carry on for a lifetime.
Yep.
And that's why, and that you won't find that at DraftKings or FanDuel. And I'm not knocking it. I played professionally for a couple of years, but at the end of the day, I just got so tired of sitting on my phone waiting for the news to come in of injuries. It's a full-time job. It's not one I enjoyed much. But the season-long league, I do, as you can tell from the show. I don't play fantasy sports season-long league because I am so busy with the handicapping and my profession that I do. But whenever I get a chance to advise or to teach, I love to do that. And I'm looking forward to doing that at Brookwood this summer, and we're hopefully going to try to get something going this winter. I don't think COVID-19 is going to let up anytime soon, Scotty.
No, I don't either. And, you know, listen, but I think if we gathered on the street and held up fantasy sports flags, maybe they'd let us do it.
Or a hashtag, fantasy sports matters.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Fantasy sports lives matter. And I'm not making fun of all the other things, but come on. You know what? We have a great, great opportunity this summer, hopefully, if everything yep. goes the way it's supposed to.
Yep.
And we're looking forward to seeing your children up at camp, but we need you to sign up, and you need to come to Brookwood Camps to do that. That's brookwoodcamps.com, right, Scotty? We got about a minute and a half.
Yep, that's brookwoodcamps.com. And if you want to even give me a phone call, it's 516-764-2112.
2112. I remembered the last four numbers. I lost my phone book when I was in Greece. Because I used
That's why you didn't talk to me for 12 years. But
I didn't talk to anybody, though. You know what got hard about that is that once I came out of that mess, and it was a mess, and I started really working to build my life back again, mm-hmm. that time difference is brutal. It's a lot easier when it's you contacting me, whereas me contacting you. Because I never knew half the time what time it was. It was a rough stretch. But at the end of the day, that's not why we're here. What we're here for you is to let you know about Brookwood Camps, let you know that the camp does exist, that we are looking forward to having your children this summer, and we're hoping that you sign up. It's affordable. It's a safe camp. It's the safest camp I've ever been at, and I've been at a few. I have not ever had one accident on the tennis courts in the 5 years off and on that I have been there. And I can't say that at any other place. I can also say that we haven't seen too many accidents or any accidents, period. You know, just little things that sports create, right, Scott?
Yeah, things happen. You know, I'm not going to tell you that we don't have, you know, we've had broken bones. Kids
of course.
That's sports
injuries, though.
It is, yeah, it is what it is. You know, it was something that we've always been conscious of, is we keep the kids out of the bunks as much as possible, because that's where injuries happen.
They sure do. And that's important to note. You know, when I talk about accidents, I'm talking about negligible accidents that are our fault, which I have not ever seen at that camp at Brookwood. I tell you what, Feeds, it's time to disappear. Well done today.
Well, have a great evening, Philip.
I'm going to try. You too. You all have a great week. And we look forward to seeing you this summer. For Scott Fiedler, I'm Phil Nasons. Thanks for listening to The Canteen.
You've been listening to The Canteen with Phil Nasons and Scott Fiedler. Find us on social media at Cash with Flash and at your podcast catcher of choice.